This is the sound of PCJ. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Well, hello everyone. It's very nice to have you with us once again on the program. I'm Keith Pahom. Coming up today, we're going to be joined by Victor Gunatelica as we give you a review of a brand new DRM receiver from New Star Electronics called the DR111. What does Victor think? Well, stay tuned and find out. This is Media Network Plus, telling it like it is. But to begin, we take a look at some of the news headlines from the world of media. As you know, Paulette Macquarie is away for the next couple of weeks. This week it's presented by Dan Hensley.
Euro News Channel is about to broadcast 24/7 from Athens, and as a result, Greek is going to be the 12th simultaneously broadcast language of the International News Channel, whose slant it is to cover news from a European perspective, avoiding a national viewpoint. More specifically, an Athens-based channel will be created in order to present Greek news directly to a Greek-speaking audience. Both Greek and Cypriot journalists will be hired to work for Euronews, while Greeks abroad will have the chance to watch the Greek news on cable and satellite TV. Euronews will be the first Athens-based channel to provide around-the-clock news from Greece. The BBC is planning a restructure of its global news division in a move that will split its commercial and non-commercial activities. Broadcast understands that the corporation is preparing to hive off two money-making services, BBC World News and the international version of the BBC News website, into a new company, creating a clearer distinction between them and the soon-to-be license fee-funded World Service. The changes are effectively a reversal of a restructure that was undertaken in 2007/08 when the World Service, World News, the International News website, BBC Monitoring, and the BBC World Service Trust were rolled into the Global News Division. The new company housing World News and BBC.com/news will be called BBC Global Limited, and the broadcaster is understood to be in the process of appointing a chief executive. It will be distinct from BBC Worldwide, which it is believed will continue to manage advertising sales and international distribution for global LTD services in the same way it currently does for World News and BBC.com/news. One source said the move would allow Global LTD to focus on building audiences and international revenues. Cambodian authorities have arrested Mam Sonando, the owner of Beehive Radio, after he was accused of inflicting riots over a land dispute. We have this report from Radio Free Asia.
The head of Cambodia's Beehive Radio faces 7 to 15 years in prison for allegedly instigating armed clashes between villagers and security forces in a land dispute. Mam Sonando's wife, Din Fanara, told reporters that her husband did not commit any crime. She said if he were guilty, he would not have come back to Cambodia. Mam Sonando returned to Cambodia from Europe last week. Human rights groups have accused the Cambodian government of delaying his arrest until the conclusion of last week's Association of Southeast Asian Nations meeting in Phnom Penh. According to Cambodian authorities, Mam Sonando incited villagers in eastern Cambodia to resist government plans to take their farmland for a rubber plantation. Mam Sonando has denied any involvement in the revolt.
Radio Australia, the international radio and multi-platform service of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, is now available 24 hours a day in Fiji on local FM frequencies. Radio Australia's FM transmitters in Suva and Nadi were switched off on April 2009, and since that time, Radio Australia has been accessible to audiences in Fiji via shortwave radio broadcasts and online. Through dialogue with the Fiji Broadcasting Corporation and the Fijian Ministry of Information, Radio Australia's FM services have resumed. For more information on these and other stories, check out the Kim Andrew Elliott blog at kimandrewelliott.com. I'm Dan Hensley.
And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you on the World Radio Network, Sky Digital in the United Kingdom, Sirius XM in North America, and on partner stations around the world, including shortwave. Joining us now is Victor Gunatelica, all the way in Sri Lanka. Now, Victor, we got sent to you a new DR111, a DRM receiver from Neustar Electronics. Now, before we get to it, I do want to say one thing, for myself anyway. I love DRM as a technology. It is a fantastic, fantastic technology. I wanted to get that out of the way because, Victor, as you know, occasionally in radio, some people, they'll say you criticize something, but they don't realize that actually you like the idea. So I wanted to get that out of the way.
And can I also say I share your views exactly. I want DRM to succeed. And that's really what I want. It's so beautiful when it works, but when it doesn't work, there's absolutely nothing.
Now, we got sent to you a DR111, a new DRM receiver that has been hailed as an affordable DRM receiver because the previous ones that were available on a limited basis from websites in Europe were usually around, well, more than $200. This one is somewhere around the $140 mark. Now, you've had one for a few days. What was your impression when you opened it out of the box?
I was hoping that my first standalone DRM receiver would do away with all the myths of the failure of DRM and that I'll have a little receiver which will give me DRM reception perfect. That was my impression, my hope as I opened the box. And I really wanted it to work. And this is the first time that I had experimented or I was going to tune in a standalone DRM receiver. What I do for DRM is I use my Perseus, well, that's more than $1,000, and the Dream software and a very good antenna. And that's what has been giving me some form of DRM. So my expectations were high. This was specially made for DRM.
Okay, so your expectations were high. Did it meet those expectations once you took it out of the box?
Sadly not, because even before I could start tuning, I found that the tuning knob, which doubles up as a volume controller, just wouldn't do what the little booklet said, that when I pressed it in, it should be frequency tuning. However much I pushed it in, it just didn't work. I was horrified. I thought I had got something very, even not factory tested. So in desperation, even before I started tuning around looking for DRM, I pulled that knob off. I blew into it, did a little bit of, a little mantram or something and put it back, and then it started working. So can you imagine, I get a brand new radio and I had to start messing around with it for it to start to work, as it at least to tune around. So that was number one. Then after that, of course, I started tuning around and I really found that whoever designed it hadn't ever tuned a shortwave radio probably. I was so shocked that it had so many things that it did wrong. But having said that, when you do get the stations, I'm not talking about DRM, I just leave that alone a little bit. When I get a shortwave signal, I found it not too bad, but not up to expectations. With the whip antenna, I could pick up the BBC and a few other stations, but not strong enough that I would like to from a new little portable. I'm not talking about professional communication receivers. So that way, it was disappointing, but I was glad that it was pulling in something.
But you know, Victor, one of the things that surprised me is there are a number of receivers out there around like $20, $30, $40, which perform way better than this one on analog shortwave.
Exactly, exactly. If I looked at the DR111 or 111, whatever you like to call it, on the shelf of a shop, I just would, and looking at the price tag of, we'll say, $140, I just wouldn't touch it other than hoping that it'll perform as a DRM receiver. Because for much less, as you say, for $10 or even less, I can get an analog shortwave receiver with a portable running off two or three batteries. By the way, which the DR111 doesn't operate on DC batteries at all. It's not portable. You need a power source. That's sad enough. And as you said, just $5 would give me much better, reliable, easy shortwave listening. So as a shortwave receiver, even a small portable, sadly, it's not for me. I wouldn't spend $10 even on this for shortwave. And medium wave, reasonable.
Did you find it easy to tune the radio from frequency to frequency? Like one of the things that slightly annoys me is when you press the volume knob, which doubles as a tuning knob, the sound on the speakers goes silent. And then you tune to the frequency, and then to hear anything, even static, you have to hit the button again.
Yes. Now, this is exactly why I said, Keith, a little earlier on, that whoever designed this radio probably never tuned a shortwave radio. Because, we are used to tuning around either the fast forward like the buttons or the nice smooth tuning knob or keypad entry. The moment you hit a frequency, out it comes, or static would boom in, as you rightly put it. But here, as you said, you push the button, the volume knob in as it doubles up as your tuning knob, and then the receiver goes dead silent, absolutely nothing, muting. And then you can tune the frequency. As you tune the frequencies, 5, 10, 15, up and down, you hear absolutely nothing. So what you have to do is tune to a frequency, push the tuning button back again, and then the receiver comes alive. And then if there is a station, fine. If there isn't, there's nothing. So there is no way to look for a station. There is a scan button, but that's another story in itself. It would scan a frequency, and it would take 2 or 3 seconds for the audio to come up. Again, the muting to get out and the audio to come out, whatever tuning system you use, there is silence for 2 seconds. And that is just not radio listening for me, or for anybody, I would think.
You see, Victor, when I tried the scanning button, the problem that I had, for example, if we take Channel Africa, I'm not sure in Sri Lanka, but here in Taiwan, picking up Channel Africa, it's not one of the clearest stations. If I use my external antennas, I can pick it up. It's weak, it's very weak, but I can understand the content. Now, when I tried the scanning function to scan near the frequency that I was looking for Channel Africa, it went right over it. It didn't even lock onto it. But my other receivers had no problem getting onto that frequency, even though it was very weak.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that happens not only for DRM. It's a disaster. DRM, it'll just run through and come back and not have anything. Of course, it would sometimes stop and I would see the text. Now, the strongest signal I get at this time is the BBC DRM on 5845. And even that signal, I wouldn't get a continuous audio signal on DRM on this standalone DRM receiver. But at the same time, even with a S3 with static but perfectly readable analog shortwave makes the day for me. So what I'm saying is, if you make a DRM receiver, market it as a standalone DRM receiver, you should at least have uninterrupted reception that doesn't drop off, at least from the strongest signal beam to your area. If you don't get it, well, it's not for me. I think it's $140 spent unnecessarily.
One of the strongest DRM signals that we can pick up in this part of East Asia is All India Radio on 15050 kilohertz. Now, when I tune to that frequency, which is, that's, I believe, only a 50 kilowatt, when I tune to that frequency using my Texan radio, it shows a very clear, strong signal on the signal meter, usually around 4 and between 5. When I use the DRM receiver, even though I don't hear any interference from other stations on that channel, the only thing I get is text. Occasionally, a little bit of audio will seep through for a few seconds and then stop. When I use the IF out on my Texan to a DRM converter using the Dream software, I have no problem.
Aha. That's very interesting. To go back to 15050 at 1300 until 1500, it's beamed from Delhi right into Sri Lanka in Sinhala. And I don't get continuous audio even on that signal. So either the DRM receivers are bad or DRM in itself is not performing up to expectations. Just plain and simple as that for me, Keith.
Now, let me ask you, because the DRM technology has been around for a long time, but of course, a number of years ago, many other broadcasters were using DRM as well. Now, Radio Canada International stopped all shortwave broadcasts, so they stopped. We saw the Netherlands do the same thing. And there was even a time, I believe, that the Voice of America was part of the consortium, but they left, correct?
Yes, I can't remember hearing the VOA on DRM on any frequency. Of course, BBC, the Vatican, even right now, the Vatican is broadcasting to Sri Lanka and India, have 20 minutes of programming. And just before Radio Canada closed down from 15 hours to 15:30, RCI was for half an hour. And for me to pick that up, even with my Perseus and a good long wire antenna, I just couldn't get 100% audio. I had to put my log periodic antenna, amateur band log periodic antenna, which was very directional, and it had a good harmonic on 17 megahertz, and it performed well. So imagine, to get 100% DRM audio, I had to use a Perseus and a log periodic antenna, and the combination with the computer that I needed for DRM exceeds $3,500. Now, if that is what I need to spend or do to get DRM, I'm sad it's not for me. But I'll tell you what, when you get that, I put my log periodic, I tune to the station, I beam to the station. Ah, it's absolutely fantastic. I've never heard anything like that on shortwave. So let me give it to DRM. Absolutely fantastic technology. When it works like a bomb. Absolutely fantastic. But when it doesn't, a $10 little Sanjin or, unbranded little Chinese portable or wherever it's made does much better.
Now, if we take, let's say, All India Radio, because All India Radio has a few DRM transmissions, why would a station like All India Radio use DRM now? And is there any idea of how many, say, DRM receivers are in India, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh?
As far as I know, although All India Radio uses 2 hours to Sri Lanka, 1300 to 1500. As far as I know, I don't know whether SLBC has a DRM radio. The only listener in the whole country out of 20 million would be myself. But at the same time, the same service which goes on medium wave, 1053 kilohertz, and a couple of shortwave frequencies have quite a large audience. You only have to listen to their musical requests or mailbag programs, and you wonder, where have all these people been? They're listening, they're writing, they're commenting, not asking for calendars and ball pens and things like that, Keith, but really interested 100% listeners to the All India Radio Singular program. For DRM, just myself, and I would just tune it for academic purposes. So I don't know where the receivers are. I don't know in Sri Lanka, other than somebody like you sending me a DRM radio, who'd buy a DR111 and pay $135 US, and that's the price of a TV set, I tell you.
So let me ask you then, why would a station like All India Radio continue using DRM if you're, they say, the only listener in Sri Lanka?
I don't know. I don't like to speculate. It's not right, and I don't like to do it. But I just do not understand, other than just the fact that they are experimenting, hoping that the thing will come right, they will improve, and people will buy radios. But I don't really know. But, of course, like the United States NASA sending a rocket to the moon, you know, a manned probe that costs billions of dollars just to put a man on the moon. I don't know whether DRM is doing just like that, to put a broadcast to Sri Lanka, spending so many thousands of rupees, Indian rupees or whatever a year, the cost of it, just to put one man on the radio. I don't know, Keith.
Okay, now we're... Okay, we're running out of time, Victor. Final thoughts on this receiver. And let me ask you this direct question. If somebody came to you and said, Victor, should I purchase this radio because I want to have DRM and I want to listen to shortwave, what would you say?
I would say, no, this is not a radio for DRM or shortwave. But I'll tell you what, if you like to play music, I love the feature. You chuck in a USB memory stick, and play music. Ha, that's lovely. So this, Keith, with your compliments, will sit in my wife's pantry playing music for her from a memory stick, but not sadly DRM.
So in other words, Victor, we had one positive thing to say about the radio. So it's not all bad.
Yeah, that's it. Sadly, I really was hoping, Keith, that this would work for me for DRM. At least 90%. Sorry, it's 90% out.
Victor Gonatelica, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. If I could have said something, experimenting with this radio and giving out something for the listener before he just goes in blindly and picks up a radio, I would have done my duty.
Call the BCJ answer line at country code 4420-3286-1399. That's country code 4420-3286-1399, and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is BCJ Radio.
Now, what can we expect with propagation over the next 7 days? Here's our propagation editor, back again, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from July 21st to July 27th, 2012. The first 3 days brings us a 10.7 centimeter flux of 100. That's from July 21st to July 23rd. July 24th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 105. July 25th, 120. July 26th, 115. July 27th, 125. The A index starts out at 5 on July 21st, rising to 12 on July 22nd. July 23rd, the A index will be 8. For the next 3 days after that, July 24th through July 26th, an A index of 5. On July 27th, the A index spikes at 25. The KP index starts at 2 on July 21st, and then for 2 days afterwards, that's July 22nd and 23rd, it will be 3. For 3 days after that, July 24th through July 26th, we'll see a KP index of 2 and a KP index of 5 on July 27th. Sunspots 15, 20, 21, and 23 are rotating out of view this week, and no new sunspots have been observed as of this time. Sunspot 1520 holds potential for an M-class solar flare, but will not be Earth-directed, and chances of a geo-effective eruption are decreasing. July 22nd, 23rd, and 27th will see increased D-layer absorption. Poor propagation will continue to be the norm unless there are last-minute solar environment changes that favor better propagation.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. Now, before we go, I want to tell you about next week's program and the week following. We're going to be bringing you two special editions of the program because we're taking a little time off. So we're sort of doing a best of Media Network Plus, and that's for July 28th and August 4th. If you wish to contact us and let us know what you think of the program, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program again as well as all past editions, including the monthly 55-minute version, at www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. We're going to leave you today with an interval song. Yes, a song that's usually played before broadcasts by many broadcasters, even though many of them are not doing it today. This is one that many of you will remember, Moscow Nights, as it was heard on Radio Moscow many years ago. Have fun. So, on behalf of Paula McQuarrie, who's already left on vacation, and Dan Hensley, this is Keith Parent wishing you well, hoping you can join us again very soon. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies. We'll be right back.